A utility company with rural service areas across Alaska is exploring the idea of harnessing the tides to provide power for the southeast village of Hoona. The proposal is a new one for Alaska, but has roots in a project that's been operating in the Bay of Fundy on the east coast of Canada since the early 1980s. KTOO's Ann Sutton reports.
Hoona's no different from scores of villages across Alaska. Residents struggle to meet the high cost of electricity that's supplied by diesel generators. While a state subsidy helps tamp down residential utility bills, city manager Dave Richards says economic growth in Hoona is stunted.
We can't compete with other communities that have lower energy costs in attracting businesses here.
For a long time, Hoona rested its hopes for energy relief on a proposed intertie from Juneau's Lake Dorothy hydropower project. But laying a submarine cable 25 miles across Icy Strait is an expensive proposition, and the idea has been largely abandoned. Now a slew of smaller alternative energy proposals from run-of-river hydro to geothermal are bubbling to the surface. Certainly the most novel belongs to Alaska Power and Telephone, which is dipping its toes, so to speak, into tidal power.
This is the first one to kind of test the waters.
Robert Grimm is AP&T's president and chief executive officer. The company recently filed a preliminary permit application with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to do some reconnaissance studies on two small bays off Port Frederick Inlet, about 10 miles southeast of Hoona.
One of the problems with tidal is, you know, the tide comes in, it goes out, and you have that slack period. But by tying the two bays together, we're almost able to generate electricity all the time, which is a concept that was developed, you know, way back in the 1920s.
The project would entail closing off the two bays, known as North Bight and South Bight, through a system of dikes and gate structures, building a power plant between the two, and stringing a transmission line to Hoona. Water from Port Frederick would enter the South Bight Basin at high tide, pass through the power plant into North Bight in a controlled electricity-generating flow, then return to the inlet at low tide.
Which is quite different from the freestanding tidal devices that are being considered in most places around the world today.
That's David Lockard, the tidal program manager with the Alaska Energy Authority, who says their not insignificant environmental impact is probably why such impoundment projects are less popular today. Still, similar technology has been tested in Normandy, France, and the Bay of Fundy, projects that have been operating for decades. The Energy Authority still considers tidal and wave energy to be in the pre-commercial development stages, even though Lockhart says they are quickly approaching viability.
We do not advocate that they be used as the sole source of power generation and expected to be reliable in a remote location until they've been demonstrated successfully in locations that are not remote.
Still, the potential is enormous, and Lockhart says the Energy Authority will be exploring ways of harnessing the ocean's movements to meet Alaska's future energy needs.
Alaska has 50% of the U.S. wave energy and 90% of the U.S. tidal energy. If we captured a small fraction of the energy in the tides in Alaska, we could meet all of the state's needs. I'm not suggesting that'll ever happen, but it just gives you a sense of the amount of energy available.
The public comment period on AP&T's proposal closes November 12th. In Juneau, I'm Ann Sutton.